Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Too Damn Friday, and I'm so glad to have my girls here with me. Hoopers, it's time to head to the hardwood. Hoopers United, Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's the first take, her takeover. We just had Kimberly A. Martin and Charlie Arnold. But now I'm so excited to welcome in Monica McNutt, our excellent basketball analyst here at ESPN. You just know her on the NBA, MSG Network. ACC, everywhere there's a hoop and people are bouncing a ball. My girl Monica is here. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, in about 10 minutes, we will get you the pressing information, as we have been committed to doing everything important, you know, news and information from the sports world, the good and at times, unfortunately, the bad. So in about 10 minutes, we will bring in our ESPN legal analyst to provide insight on the Deshaun Watson and his latest legal move. But right now, I have to intro my girl, Monica. How are you doing, sis? I know you just finished a long college basketball season, and now we're ramping things up for not only the NBA, but the WNBA draft is next week. Girl, you know we ain't gonna be sleeping anytime soon.
There's zero sleep. But I will say that I did book a little quick getaway the first week of May before the season starts, the weekend of May 14th, and we get into this full-fledged stretch with the W starting up, and we'll be approaching NBA playoff time. But, Janae, it's so good to be here with you, sis. I mean, you've been representing, holding it down, major time slot, first black woman on radio on a daily show. Like, the accolades go on. Your team just won a national championship. Hey. I just need your glow to kind of rub up off me.
Thank you so much, girl. We all stand in the same light. And by the way, the light in your place is lit because you are glowing, sis. And now I know you're full-time normally with the Knicks, but can I talk about the Brooklyn Nets? Is that okay, sis?
That's fine. Let's have a basketball conversation. I can appreciate greatness even if it's across town.
Yes, beautiful. Appreciating greatness, because we had that opportunity exactly this past week as Kevin Durant returned to the Brooklyn Nets this week. My Lord, he made an immediate impact. 5 for 5 from the field, 17 points in 19 minutes, which was wild. Now, we know that he was dealing with the same injury that now James Harden is dealing with, the hamstring. But what did you think, Kimberly?
It's okay. We love Kmart. And you've been with her like for 8 hours, or more like all week, 40 hours
girl,
almost?
I've been with her for 72 hours. 72 hours, Kmart. We got to figure out what your nickname. What is your nickname, Monica?
Me? Yes. I go Monty, Mon, McNutt, you know, Eminem, like, you know, whatever. Oh. Is it the last name? A nickname? I love my last name. It's a long story. We'll talk about that.
Eminem, I'm here for that. Eminem, what did you think of Kevin Durant's return to the court, Eminem? And also, do you think he's going to have the biggest impact on the title odds for them?
Golly, Janae, this is such a tough question. All right, let me compartmentalize. All right, in terms of his return, was it everything that I expected, or did it exceed expectations? I'm somewhere in the middle of that, because Kevin Durant has been one of the greatest basketball players of this generation for a long time. And so that's no secret. If I was going to nitpick, his first three personal possessions when he had the ball, he did turn the ball over twice in that stretch. He just had to get his rhythm back. But other than that, the basket hasn't moved. Like, the game hasn't changed. He seemed so fluid and comfortable. And obviously, as we talk about this team, one of the big headlines is that the big three has played just 7 games together to this point. And even in his return, James Harden, and obviously he was dealing with that nagging hamstring injury himself. But he and Kyrie looked great. I mean, I thought he and Blake looked great. I mean, Joe Harris, I don't know that he gets the credit that he deserves in terms of the spacing that he creates, because you cannot leave that man, right? He's going to knock down shots. So it was good to see KD back on the floor. He looked very much in rhythm. The game just comes so easily to him. And I remember when, you know, Easy Money Sniper was the handle. I was like, that is like, That's him. Like, it just looked so easy and so fluid. And you can tell, again, I keep saying it, the East is this team's to lose, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Janae Ogun with Monica McNutt. I was going to say Eminem here on ESPN Radio. This is a continuation of the first take, her takeover. And I really do think that Kevin Durant is the icing on the cake. And it's crazy because, obviously, James Harden has had to carry superhuman loads, whether it was his time in Houston and then now stepping into Brooklyn, where he had to deal with Kyrie now not being out for a couple of games, Kevin Durant not being there. And so a lot of people are putting respect. Girl, let me tell you this.
Come
people
on,
are putting
me.
Respect on him in a way that, as a Houston native, it made me feel funny, because people were really saying, oh, he's critical. Look at what he does with Houston. He's scoring and he's doing the step back. That's a travel. He gets to the rim. That's not a foul. So critical of James Harden's game. But now it's like, oh, well, because he's done it in a way that I like it because he's passing it more. I mean, now we can appreciate it. This man, I've said he's a chameleon in the best way. Mm-hmm. He sort of changes, you know, his shape and his type on a night-to-night basis. Mm-hmm. Just so that he can put his team in a position to win, whether it is with Kyrie or without. And so, you know, James Harden is to be respected over the course of an entire regular season for putting your team in contention. We saw him do that in the West. Now we're seeing him do that in the East. But at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, this team, the Brooklyn Nets, they can substitute stars, meaning James Harden's out, KD comes back in, and they don't miss the beat. But when it comes to the playoffs, you cannot substitute 7 feet tall, isolation, and he can get a bucket, you know, in the paint, in the mid-range, and from three. And that's why Brooklyn is really different. Chenan Gold Jr. brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Now, Monica, I just want to get your personal point of view, the flavor, because I know we're talking about impact, and you said, obviously, James Harden is to be respected, and Kevin Durant is that dude. Tell me where the Knicks sort of fit in the equation of energy and momentum, especially this year, because now I've got my producer Shannon's attention as he turns around because I said the Knicks. So as someone who has kept a very close eye on the New York Knicks, where do they fit in New York basketball?
It's, you know what, Janae, it's so crazy. I'm going into my third, rapidly approaching my fourth year with MSG Networks. And we have a tremendous team there. Bill Pito holds it down, Alan Hahn, Wally Zerbiak. Like, that's the studio game crew primarily. And then, of course, Mike Breen, Clyde Frazier is tremendous. Here's what I will say. The most exciting thing about the Knicks this year is that they have a direction, and it seems to be pretty clear. I personally think that they are one of the 10 best teams in the East. And so therefore, under the new playoff structure, that means that this is a playoff team. I'd love them to stay above, you know, seven. I know that the rest of their schedule is very challenging. And so I won't be naive, particularly the last 5 out of 6 that they've dropped. Very close ball games, like literally last second possessions. They had opportunities and couldn't get it to fall, including versus the Nets. What's today? Friday versus the Nets on Monday night. So, I think the most promising part is that this team has a direction. It has an identity. When you talk about one of the better defensive teams in the league, they are still growing in terms of having that big time, consistent closer. I think Julius has done a tremendous job this year. Obviously, he was an all-star. It speaks to the growth of his game and the stats that he's producing. But when you watch these guys, there is a commitment defensively, which credit Tibbs, right? There's a commitment to winning the best way that they can, right? And so when I say that, I admit that there's still room to grow. You got to be able to get close ball games down the stretch. But I think more than we've seen in the past, players know their roles, they know their identities, and they're beginning to excel in that. I think RJ Barrett obviously is still able to get to the rim, finish in traffic. Reggie Bullock, I think, has been a really pleasant surprise this year, yeah, in terms of his ability to knock down the three, which he's been shooting really well as of late in particular. And you can count on him pretty much on the defensive side of the ball. The injury to Mitchell Robinson, Chiney, we hate to see it. I mean, he was really continuing to improve and grow in terms of his game. And I loved him around the rim. We got super dope highlight alley-oops from him. He brings the energies. He's blocking shots. He's rebounding. So that was certainly a tough loss. But I think Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson combined have done their part to kind of fill in for that absence. And so there's a lot of promising things that you see about this roster, particularly, you know, the rookie Emmanuel Quickley, I think, has surprised a lot of folks. I'm not sure that most prognosticators would have put him in that one spot as opposed to the two, which, because we know about his prolific ability to knock down the long ball. But this year, I think, you know, running alongside Derrick Rose and Elfrid Payton has been a tremendous learning opportunity for him. Still working to see what Obi's best fit is going to be, but even in flashes, you've seen greatness from him. And what I love about both of those rookies is they understand, especially Obi being a New Yorker, they understand what it means to be a part of this organization, and they take so much pride in it. And they also came in just willing to put on their hard hats and do whatever was asked of them. And so that, to me, speaks to the promise in terms of the direction. And Julius said to me, he's like, you know, we're doing things the right way, and that makes this team, this city, this organization attractive, and that's important to us.
Look, this is why at the start of the hour, I said, you gonna be in hoops heaven with my girl showing off all that analysis and knowledge. And look, talking about the Knicks this late in the year is a win.
It's
having
a good
this
thing.
Debate, having this debate about the Brooklyn Nets, which player will be better and have more impact between James Harden and Kevin Durant in the clutch time, that's a win. So make sure you check out the NBA because it's all over ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as KD and the Nets host the Lakers, presented by Indeed. Coverage really begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. But we do have to switch gears to get you what you need to know about a situation that's developed in the NFL. The latest on Deshaun Watson as his legal team has made a move. We will break that down right after this on Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chenan and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Now, in a few minutes, we will get to the on-the-field play with Field Yates, and obviously, pun intended, especially with the conversations about pressure potentially being on the Patriots and Bill Belichick. But first, we need to get you what you need to know today, and unfortunately, it is off the turf. It's Chinne Ogwumike and Monica McNutt here on Chinne and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. And now the information that you need to know is that two judges have ruled that most of the plaintiffs suing Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson must now identify themselves. The rulings are coming from two hearings today that cover 13 of the 22 lawsuits filed against Deshaun Watson, alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. While the attorneys have agreed to release a 14th name also later today. Now, the second hearing held in the 113th District Court, the plaintiff's attorney Tony Busby and Deshaun Watson's attorney Rusty Harden agreed that 9 of 12 women would publicly reveal their names by Wednesday after they told Busby that they would do so voluntarily. Now the court has stepped in and said that this should happen. Now, that is a lot of information, and to help us better understand this, we're so grateful to be joined by Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst. And first and foremost, on the Goodyear Hotline, Ryan, I know we always call on you for the hardest stuff, so thank you so much for joining us. But why is it important to Deshaun Watson's legal team to have the accusers' names made public?
Well, today, I think the biggest thing was Rusty Harden had said before that he felt Tony Busby, who's the lawyer for the accusers here, was basically conducting a trial by press conference. And he was attacking Deshaun Watson in the media, according to Harden, based on what he said these anonymous accusers were saying about Deshaun Watson. So the problem from Harden's perspective was Deshaun Watson's unable to defend himself because he doesn't know who the people are that Tony Busby is talking about. So that's been the most difficult part of this. So they called an emergency hearing to try to get the judge, at least from Harden's perspective, to say, look, it should be a fair process. It should be at least a process where if somebody's attacking my client, being Deshaun Watson, I need to at least be able to say, well, I know that person, and this is what really happened, and this is what I feel. And I think in this case, what you saw is the judges agreeing with that perspective in many ways. In fact, something I saw published in The Athletic said one of the judges who was involved in this case has said, essentially this, we can only guess what's happening to the person who's been found not guilty in a court of law of anything, but is being drugged to the media. That indicates, if it's what a judge said in this case, that indicates that there's a sense that Deshaun Watson isn't able to really defend himself against anonymous claims. So that identification, from Harden's perspective, is going to help him answer some of what's being said about Deshaun Watson.
All right, Ryan. So I understand that part of the battle, but where do we stand from here? Because at one point we were waiting to see if there were going to be criminal charges brought against Deshaun as opposed to these civil lawsuits. Where do we stand from here, literally?
Yeah, it's a couple of things happening. First, it appears that the police department is at least looking into this. And I say that not to say that criminal charges are coming or that they're even in process. We don't know anything in that vein. I say that typically when you have something like this, police departments will start investigating, start trying to check it out and see what's going on. So that's the criminal track. And again, nothing is happening there in terms of charges. We haven't heard anything to that effect. In the civil cases, what happens next essentially is Rusty Harden and his team have to answer these claims. So they've all been filed certain complaints in civil courts. And so now the job of the person being accused is to answer them. And that, I think, was part of Harden's desire to find out who the accusers were. Because in order to answer, it's hard to answer a claim when you don't know who's making the actual claim. And so that will happen fairly soon. He's on a little bit of a time frame because when a complaint is filed, you usually have a certain period of time to answer the complaint. So now comes Deshaun Watson's people trying to figure out who the people are and answer the actual claims in a court filing.
Chinay Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chinay Ogwumike and Monica McNutt and Ryan Smith joining us, ESPN legal analyst. And Ryan, what, if anything, can the NFL do at this point? I know a topic of discussion has been the commissioner's exempt list, but is there any recourse for them to show the fans and the public that they are following this?
That is a tough question, because I got to tell you, with what the NFL has been trying to show they are about, which is when women are accusing football players of crimes, the sense from the NFL has been that the accusers are to be believed, are to be taken seriously. It's hard for them to essentially toe that line and then allow Deshaun Watson to play. And what becomes difficult here is you also involve the NFLPA in this, and you look at it and say, well, Deshaun Watson hasn't been convicted of anything. He's denying all of these claims. So what to do in that scenario? I think the NFL has available to it the ability to try to suspend him with pay or to possibly put him on the exempt list. The suspending with pay would be difficult, but the exempt list is always a possibility. And the question for them is going to be, when do they take that action? I think right now they're in an okay situation because football is not being played. We're not in training camp, so the eyes aren't on the league right now. But I think once you get closer to training camp, they're going to have a very tough decision to make. And that decision is going to be, I got to tell you guys, civil cases, they don't resolve themselves in days or weeks, months, sometimes years. If there's a settlement, that's a different story. But you're talking about a settlement involving 22 different accusers, and that could be a difficult road, especially when Deshaun Watson has been saying he is looking forward to defending himself in these claims. So it's going to be tough to see what the NFL does with all that.
Extremely difficult, but as always, thank you, Ryan, for being here when we always need you, especially in the hardest points. And plus, we know you're working double time on SportsCenter and also spending time and giving us the legal analysis that we truly need in this situation. So we appreciate you. Thank you for all of your insight.
Today, Monica, anytime. Take care.
Appreciate him all day, every day. And man, it's never easy to really transition from the serious allegations. But, you know, it's important that we update everyone, you know, on that situation, especially with the importance of, you know, having people be named and then also putting a face to the name, because we did start the week with the emotion of some of the accusers. But now we've seen Deshaun Watson and his team's first move. Never easy to transition, but we'll try our best to do so as we, you know, transition to the NFL and the on-field, because former NFL Pro Bowler said that Bill Belichick should right now be on the hot seat. Yes, spicy take, and we'll ask our insider about that next on Chinay Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ogwumike Jr., the podcast.
Look, we got a taste of Monica McNutt in her basketball bag, and the people want more. We got to give the people what they want. It's Chinay Ogwumike Jr. on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Chinay Ogwumike, Monica McNutt holding it down on this first take, her takeover with my girl. Now in about 10 minutes, we will get to the NBA MVP race, because a number of stars have missed significant time, which means it's an opportunity for others to slide their way in. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. But first, let's get back to, you know, our favorites, because we just had Ryan Smith, our ESPN legal analyst. And now let's head back to the Goodyear Hotline to be joined by Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, also co-host of the First Draft podcast. Field, it's been really spicy today on this Friday, because LeVar Arrington, a former NFL player and three-time Pro Bowler, he said this, all right? He said that the Patriots and Bill Belichick need to, quote, have a very good season this year. And he also said that Bill Belichick is on the hot seat after Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. Now, Field, as someone who has spent significant time with the organization, is the block hot for Bill Belichick right now?
Man, I'm trying to think of, like, the appropriate analogy. But first of all, what a dynamic duo we've got today on the show. We all love Gojo, goodness. But Monica doing an exemplary job stepping in. And I'm glad to talk NBA MVP if you guys want to as
Go
well.
For
I'll pass
it.
My
we
vote at the end of the segment.
We love
but
it.
But Man, I don't know. Like, Bill Belichick's seat is as hot as a Canadian winter right now, right? Like, Bill Belichick is the Patriot. You know, like, I understand the idea that the Patriots are under pressure given that Tom Brady just guided the Bucs to a Super Bowl, and that innately creates pressure for the Patriots. But, like, what's going to happen, right? Like, what's the recourse? If the Patriots go, like, 9-8, and by the way, I was going to say 9-7, forgetting that there's an extra game next year. But if they go 9-8 or 10-7 next year, like, Bill Belichick's going to stay with the Patriots until Bill Belichick is done with coaching football. Like, it's his prerogative as to when he departs. 6 Super Bowls in 19 seasons. He's going to eventually become the NFL's all-time winningest coach. But I will say this, and I understand that it's a different team, a different league year to year, but it felt like just about everything that could go wrong for the Patriots last year, mm-hmm. in terms of having a bad roster, in terms of having some COVID issues during the season, injuries that piled up, a lot of that stuff went wrong. And they went 7-9 last year. Like, it's a little scary to think that the Patriots crater is 7-9. Like, most teams, when they crater, they go in like 2-14. So I would say that if the Patriots, especially if they can fortify the quarterback spot in the draft with a young player in the first round, which I don't know if that's possible, but if it is, I would feel very optimistic about them finding their way back into the playoff mix as soon as next year.
All right, Field. You know, I may be alone on the island in this, but I really just think that Bill Belichick is a winner. And, like, whether Tom Brady did or did not have success apart from him, he still was going to do what he needed to do to win. But anyway, let's not go down that rabbit hole because I'm sure it's pretty deep. Let's go to the upcoming draft. We mentioned you are the co-host of the First Draft podcast. Terrific knowledge there. What are we hearing about the number 3 selection going to the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, all roads right now are leading towards Mac Jones, Alabama quarterback, who had an unbelievable year. And so let me start by praising Mac Jones, because I feel like recently it's been a lot of yeah, but with Mac. So let me just start by saying this. Since this past college football season started, I really believe that Mac Jones has basically done everything that he could do at the highest level. His season was unbelievable. It completed nearly 78% of passes. 78% of his passes, it was the single season NCAA record. So, like, obviously accuracy is working in his favor. And I get it. He's got unbelievable players around him. But still, like, it's better than what Joe Burrow did a year ago, when Joe Burrow also had potentially 3 first-round wide receivers around him. So it's an incredible year for Mac Jones. That continued during the pre-draft process. He showed up at the Senior Bowl. He performed during the week in practice. And I thought he not only showed himself as the best quarterback there, but clearly the player that everybody else was gravitating towards. And if you're a quarterback, you've certainly got to have leadership to you. So Mac Jones has continued to do as much as he can within his power over the past 8 or 9 months to cement his draft status. And as a result of that, I do believe that he's going to end up being the 3rd overall pick in the draft. It's no mystery the 49ers are going quarterback, and they seem to have an affinity for Mac Jones. And when our guy Shefty states Mac Jones as confidently to the 49ers as he has, I know a few things in life, and one of them is we don't bet against Shefty. We just don't do it.
Very true. It's Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio. Chenango McKay, Monica McNutt, and Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider. And Field, you know, I know you just gave a lot of love to Mac Jones, who has a new nickname, Big Mac Jones. Charlie Arnold earlier on our show said that was
okay.
A good nickname.
I was like, I thought missed it was that really one.
Cool. She loves McDonald's. But Field, what about Justin Fields, you know, with the second pro day, you know, on deck? Will that second pro day change anyone's mind?
Also, Phil, to jump in on that, too, how did Justin fall, if you can add that? Because the last thing I heard was Trevor and Justin was neck and neck. But I'm sorry, I just had to interject.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, because I'm having a hard time figuring out myself. And so in our position on the outside, as in, like, not working for a team where we don't have all the information the teams do, because they've got area scouts that are, you know, spending time in these college towns and talking to everybody and their brother about these players and trying to get some information on who they are as individuals, not just who they are as athletes. So they have more information. I'm willing to concede that, no doubt. I would never think otherwise. But everything that I've been able to see with my own eyes has impressed the heck out of me. And then people that I've talked to who I trust, understanding that the NFL is a projection exercise in the draft, even Trevor Lawrence isn't a sure thing. But everybody that I've talked to that I trust also feels as though Justin Fields checks basically every box you want as a quarterback. So I guess I answered the second question before the first. But the first, to answer Chenae's question, is that I think this second pro day can help Justin Fields put a little bit of pressure on the 49ers in this way. Hey, San Francisco, you sure you want to take Mac Jones? Because I'm about to show you what I can do. Not that you don't have a lot of film on me, but I do believe that spending time with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and the decision makers in San Francisco can at least make them think about what their decision is going to be at pick three. And I don't know, I'm not Mel Kiper or Todd McShay. I just will tell you that everything that I've seen from Justin Fields and everything that I know about him makes me optimistic about believing he's going to be everything we were talking about him being a few months ago when, as you said, Monica, like it was like 1A and 1B, and here we are now, and he's like the fifth best quarterback somehow. It doesn't make sense to me.
Fields, we don't have much time, but the floor is yours. Who is the NBA MVP so far?
All right, so I think it's Nikola Jokic, and I understand that the Nuggets had a really, I mean, they had a slow start, but I think part of that was us like being a little bit too confident in how they performed in the bubble without remembering, like, they came back from back-to-back 3-1 series, but he's been the best offensive player in the league, obviously does things that I'm not sure I've seen a center do maybe in my lifetime and certainly in a long time. He does not impact the game as much on both sides of the court like someone like Giannis can or LeBron can or anybody else can that we're talking about right now, but he's the most unique offensive player. Denver's been playing better, and obviously when you factor in the current injury for LeBron, the current injury or the most recent injury for Joel Embiid, Giannis is about to miss his fourth straight game. I think there's at least a case for my guy Nikola Jokic as the NBA MVP. But you guys are not only prepared to, I'm sure, but like you guys have every right to tell me I'm a complete moron because you guys have forgotten more about basketball in the past 10 minutes than I've known about basketball my entire life.
Cisco's dad, that analysis deserves some snaps. Appreciate you, Field. Thanks for stopping by and dropping some knowledge.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
The versatility of Field Yates on full display, especially with the MVP conversation. But you got two bad women, basketball women, that have MVP takes locked and loaded. Who is the real MVP of the NBA right now? We'll tell you, but first a quick word from Indeed. Now, connoisseur of case management or guru of global sales, whoever you're looking to hire, you can find them at Indeed. Sponsor a job post, and Indeed's Instant Match searches millions of resumes in their database and immediately delivers a list of quality candidates whose resume fits your job description. You can add an Indeed skills test so candidates can show you their skills that really go beyond the resume. No wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all of the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Now, Harden, LeBron, Embiid, Field, name them. They've all missed time. So now, who should be the real MVP in the NBA? That's coming up next on Chenae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Chenae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The top of the hour. I cannot wait for my sis to go off. Draymond Green back at the mic, making waves, responding to Megan Rapinoe. But I don't know if these waves were groovy, like to totally do it. I don't think these were groovy. But right now, it's the action on the hardwood. It's Chenae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Chenae Ogwumike and Monica McNutt. And it feels good to say both basketball analysts,
yes,
both black women.
Come on.
Both out here.
Energy.
Yes. Ooh, energy. Yes. So let's talk about the NBA because we've got about 20 games left. And the MVP conversation usually at this point is getting cemented. And it seems like the opposite is actually happening. Now, based on the journey of the season, started off with LeBron James probably becoming the oldest MVP at 36 years. Then it transitioned to, as Golic Jr. calls it, chugga, 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 choo, choo, the James Harden train,
okay,
falling in love in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And then the Philadelphia 76ers enter the chat with Joel Embiid. But now with all of those guys, LeBron, James Harden, and Joel Embiid missing time, Monica, where are we at in the MVP? Because we just had Phil Yates say Jokic is now the leader, which is true in the conversation. If you look at his numbers, they're absurd, especially for a big man. Set the table for MVP as we sort of head down the final stretch of the season.
Not to be done, or outdone rather, by Phil Yates, who was talking hoops like it was his primary sport. I must say, though, why so serious? Is my answer. And so, yes, I actually agree with Field 100%. It's looking like the Joker. And I will say, Chiney, in the beginning of the season, it took me a minute. I never, you know, sorry, hate to, you know, Space Jam, The Legacy, whatever coming out. I never really gave LeBron my MVP vote. I went Joker, Joel, and now I'm back to Joker. I think you mentioned it. This man is top five in both assists and rebounds as a center. Like, and I'm sure he's top 15 in terms of scoring in the league as well. The thing that we held against them, and Field so eloquently laid this out, was the way that they started the season. But I think the on the flip side of that coin, the thing that now will be held against Joel, LeBron, potentially, well, less so LeBron, potentially Giannis, depending on how the Bucks handle themselves and how long he's out, is that their teams were fine. Like, particularly the Sixers, their team is fine. And we know that the Lakers are not necessarily concerned about their seeding as far as the regular season goes, even though they have certainly fallen without LeBron. But they were falling without AD. So even in that case, it's kind of like, well, this is what happened while you were out, as opposed to we're now getting to see this Denver squad at full strength with the Joker and Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray coming into form at just the right time. I mean, it's hard to get a grade for something a test, right? In school, it's hard to get a grade for a test if you weren't there. That's kind of how it goes.
That is so true. And you and I both got excellent grades and we went to very good schools. And yeah. So we get that. But, you know, I absolutely think that this would be an interesting year because I've always said this season has been two seasons wrapped into one with 71 days in between the NBA finals and the start of the 2021 season. Mm-hmm. And so while we thought a lot of these stars would have enough steam to make it through the year, it just seems like they're actually smarter holding back their stars and making a push for the playoffs. But Monica, this begs the question, Jokic, I mean, obviously that's probably the easiest choice, but who else are in the mix? Because we were having conversations. CP3, a lot of people are talking about right now. Damian Lillard needs to get a little bit more love. Who else do you think deserves to be in the mix when it comes to the MVP?
Well, this week I was very much on the why are we not talking about CP3 for MVP train. And I know Mark Jackson this week during the Suns Jazz game, he went on eloquently about Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker should be in that conversation. I think it's an interesting case for Donovan. The problem to Donovan's detriment in terms of that argument in my mind is just how well balanced that machine is that they got going out in Utah right now. Devin, to me, he's put up these kind of numbers before, right? Like, we knew that he was a legitimate scoring threat, one of the best scorers in the league, but that did not necessarily translate to success for the Suns. So when you look at the addition of CP3, who, you know, test the wind, stirring this thing just right, whatever analogy you want to use, the thing with CP3 and Dame, to me, is going to be where their teams finish. I think the Suns' jump has been more combustible? I don't know. It's fireworks? I don't know what I'm trying to do here.
Like,
yeah, it's 100% a surge because this was a team that's like, okay, afterthought, whatever. Like, they got Devin Booker and they got to figure it out. And so now talking about them at the top of the Western Conference standings is like mind-blowing. Dame, you know, I feel like Dame has put up cases that should put him in this conversation more times than we probably give him credit for because he kind of gets his parade gets rained on a little bit by the star power that's in the West because the Portland Trailblazers are just steady, right? Like, they're always going to be a playoff team. It seems like they always run into one of the behemoths in the West. And we know that Dame has talked about being so loyal to that organization that he's not necessarily going to go make a super team. But I do think there's a real case for CP3. And if you dig into Dame's numbers, it's not far off. But I think of the folks that are not being talked about, CP3 is probably, well, he's been talked about this week, but CP3 is probably my next guy up.
Yeah, I'd kind of have to agree, and you're right, because I ride for Damian Lillard, what he's been able to do, especially without CJ McCollum for a large portion of the season. And it's not just without CJ, it's like without 30 points, and then also Yusuf Nurkic and Zach Collins. Like, he put the whole team on his back. I'm glad we finally got your list, okay? Nikola Jokic, who was your number two?
I'm going CP3. We were going outliers, right? Or no, my two was Joel, but Joel's been out. Joel. Like, he just got back.
Yeah, I think Joel can make his case, honestly.
He probably still can.
They're number two in the East, and it'll be interesting. But look, we are just getting started here when it comes to the NBA. Both basketball analysts, we're in hoops heaven.
Come on.
And sometimes conversations should honestly just stay there, because at times they take a dramatic turn. They go on pause. They should be put in purgatory, honestly, these conversations. And it involved Draymond Green once again. Controversial comments broken down right after this on Chidey and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to Chidey and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.